Shows if you keep your nose to the grindstone what you can do. So Psalm 119, begin reading today in verse 145 under the Hebrew letter Kof. Hear now the word of the Lord. I call with all my heart. Answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your precepts. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, what a blessing it is to us as your people. And Lord, we pray now that you would take that word and as seed planted in good ground, planted in the soil of our heart, Lord, that it may bring forth a good harvest, 30 or 60 or even 100 times what is sown, Lord, by the work of your Spirit in our hearts, in our minds. Enlighten our understanding. Lord, give us wisdom that comes only from your word. Lord, help us this day, we pray. Lord, and our prayer is to hear your voice and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. In the book of James, chapter 5, the scripture records some of these words. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him offer up praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. What I draw your attention to in these words is the call to pray. Pray in all kinds of circumstances, in trouble, in happiness, in sickness, when we've sinned. And the focus of the psalmist in our text today is his fervent prayers to the Lord in his distress. I think we all instinctively, and when I say all, I'm talking about humankind, instinctively turn to the Lord in times of trouble. If you've ever been on an airplane when there's a loud noise and those oxygen masks fall down, 100 and some people in unison say, "Oh God." That's just a instinct within man to call out to God when there's trouble. We are, on the other hand, a little slow or forgetful with the praise sometimes. And I think sometimes even Christian people are slow to pray because we've been disobedient. We've violated his clear commands. We know we have sinned willfully in some ways, and therefore, you know, we're a little reticent to call out to God, to call out fervently to him, to bless us when we know we've been doing something wrong. However, something that should be noted about the psalmist's intense prayers there, he links them to recognition and obedience to God's word, to God's decrees and his statutes, and his own affirmation here that what the Lord commands is right. We see the psalmist, first thing, cries out with his whole heart. That is, with all the powers of his soul, all the powers of his intellect and his emotions that he could muster, he exerted himself in prayer with great affection, with unusual vigor. From the depths of his being, he cried out to God. Do you pray like that? Our prayers like that. Our prayers are often cold, and I'm talking about me. You can talk about yourself. But our prayers are often cold and formal. There's no deep-seated emotion crying out to God over these things. But where else should a child go than to his father when he has trouble or pain or is threatened in some way? Do you think of your prayers like that? Do you understand? We prayed just a little bit ago. We pray, "Our Father." But do you truly see your prayers as pleas to your Heavenly Father, who loves you more than any earthly father loves his own child? Than you may love your own children or grandchildren, God loves you even more than that. And he stands ready to help you and defend you. Do you ever think about it that way? And notice also, he not only cries out with a fervent plea to God, he also expresses an intense desire to obey the law, to keep God's statutes. Do you have that same kind of desire? Are your prayers reflective of that desire? Do we ever pray, "Lord, help me to walk in step with your word. Help me to walk in step with your commands"? There's a sense here that as he requests God to hear him, that he will, as a token of his gratitude, promise to keep the Lord's commandments. I would not look upon this as some kind of bargaining with God, which, by the way, a lot of people try to do when they're in trouble. I call them sometimes foxhole prayers. I've talked to several people in the military who related to me. They were in certain situations, they were praying, "Lord, if you will just get me out of this, I promise when I get back home, I'll start going to church, or I'll start doing this, or I'll start..." I don't think that's what the psalmist is doing here. Rather, I believe the purpose of the psalmist here is to bring glory to God by his resolve to devote himself more and more to the work of serving God. He will give thanks to the Lord, and that thanks will manifest itself by his way of life and by his works. It's not, "Lord, if you'll do this for me, I'm going to do these things." It's just the fact that God is his Father. God is the one to whom he cries out. God is the one who he pleads with for his needs. And his response is to, in his way of life, in his works, and the things he does, is to demonstrate that love for God. In verse 146, we see the great thing he prayed for was salvation. "Save me," he cries. Now, that cry, that word can have more than one meaning. It can be deliverance or help in life-threatening situations. Like Peter in Matthew 14, remember the disciples had gone on in the boat, and then later in the night, as they're having a hard time getting across the lake, here comes Jesus walking on the water, and Peter says, "Lord, tell me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come on." And he climbed out of the boat, and Peter starts walking on the water. Then, you know what happened? He saw the waves and the wind. He got scared. His faith began to fail, and consequently, he began to sink. What did he do? What were his words? He cried out three words: Lord, save me. Same words almost as the psalmist here. So it can be a desperate situation where you just cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. That's a short but a very effective prayer. It can also be a cry beyond temporal distress. It can be a plea for eternal salvation. It's a comprehensive prayer. It's a plea to God to not only rescue you from trouble or ruin or danger, it's also a plea for eternal happiness. As the writer to the Hebrews said, Hebrews 6:9, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. There are things that come to God's people, to his children. And he says, we're confident that those things will come. We see the psalmist saying, answer me or save me, and I will obey. I'll keep your statutes. As I said, don't think of this as some kind of bargaining with God. If you do this for me, I'll do something for you. What can you do for Almighty God? What does he need from you? That's not the sense of this at all. Psalmist prays that the Lord will rescue him, save him from his sins, from his corruptions, from all the temptations that lie before him, in order that he might be able to keep the law. See, this is a prayer that we all need. Lord, save me. Save me from myself, that I might be able to keep your law better, more perfectly. We must cry out to the Lord, save me. Save me from my sins. Save me from this present suffering. Save me from my distress. Save me so I may not, so I may be happy and healthy and a lot of things a lot of folks like to promise. That's not what he's praying. Save me that I may have more opportunities to serve you, because I'm fully persuaded that the only way I can continue to be safe is by having you, my Lord and my God, as my Savior and my protector and my sustainer. You know, obedience to God leads to knowledge. If you want to know God better, you must seek to obey him more fully and more perfectly. You must want to obey. Knowledge originates in God's grace and leads to more grace, which leads to more knowledge. This is the life of the Christian. The more you know of God and his word, the more grace flows to you, the more knowledge flows to you that leads you to more understanding of the word. It's this growing as a Christian. This is how Moses prayed in Exodus 33. He prayed to God. He said, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. If you're pleased with me, teach me so I can know you better, so you can be more happy with me. You can find more favor with me so I can know you better. You see, this is how we grow and feed off of God's word. And in verses 147, 148, the psalmist tells how he had been constant in his prayer life. Look at the two things that upheld him and encouraged him in prayer. The word encouraged him to continue in prayer, always praying, even if the answer doesn't come as soon as he would like. As the Lord told the prophet Habakkuk, The revelation will come at the appointed time. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come true. All of God's promises are true. The psalmist hoped in the word, which he knew would not fail him. But secondly, he says he meditated on God's word. The more we know of God's word, the more we hide it in our heart, the better able we will be to speak to God in his own language. This is God's revelation of himself to us. The more you know of the word, the better able you are to pray and communicate with God and the things that he has said. He loves to hear his people come to him with the words of scripture, with his own words. And the better able we should be able to pray, as we should. But also notice the times that the psalmist prayed. He prayed before dawn, and he prayed throughout the night. He began the day with God. This is something we should all strive to do. Doesn't matter if it's before dawn. It doesn't matter if you're working third shift and you get up at, 12 o'clock at night. Before you begin your day, it's something we should do. It's often the case that we're rushing back and forth, trying to get somewhere, trying to get ready to do something. But the first thing every morning should be some time set apart for God. Before our minds get cluttered up and distracted with all the concerns of the day. If our first thoughts of the day are centered on God's word, it will help us to walk in step with his spirit all the day long. Notice, too, that he prayed during the night. All of us experience times during the night where we lie awake. This past week, I slept maybe 1 hour one night in a shelter up there. And everybody in there was snoring except me. It's a good time to pray. He can help us in those times. When you're lying awake, it's a great time to meditate on God's promises. It's a great time to thank him for his love, his protection, his grace. It's a great time to contemplate the wonders of salvation, what God did for you in his son Jesus Christ. It is a great time to reflect on all of his blessings. And this can be a great comfort to you when you're laying there unable to sleep. So whether we come early in the morning or during the watches of the night, you know the wonderful thing? The Lord is always there. He's always attentive. He's always ready to hear your prayer. He stands ready to hear and to help. Scripture says the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always ready to hear the cares of his children. And why does God stand ever ready to hear us? Because of his great love. It's the goodness of God which is the ground of our hope and our assurance, the assurance of being heard when we cry out to him. We know of God's love and his mercy, his grace and his goodness. We know that through the word, because he has told us in his word of those things. Therefore, as we sense our need, when we know we need God's mercy, when we need extra strength, we should go to the Word. It's there in the Word that we derive our assurance of God's goodness and his wisdom, that all these things are in his divine plan And he is ordering these things, as the confession says, for his glory and our good. God knows what we need. He knows before we ever ask what our needs are. He knows what I need. He knows what you need. And he knows what's good for you. Many times the things we want may not be good for us, but he therefore, out of his great grace, he will meet those needs in accordance with his divine plan. And he says this, but you also know one other thing. The psalmist says it too, he knows it. This world has got plenty of trouble. There's plenty of people, more and more it seems every day, who are ready and eager to do harm. Those who have no regard for the commands of the Lord. And they're around us on every side. They're wicked. Some of them are malicious. Paul said they've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, and depravity. They invent ways of doing evil. They have no fear of God, and they're always ready to attack his people. You all know this. You all know this is a situation in our world. It's a situation in our country. It's a situation even in this town in which we live. I heard you talking this morning about murders and troubles. And, you know, we have nations going against nations and, you know, governments trying to oppress people. The government's trying to do things that God says don't do. And then you have individuals who are bent on destruction on every side. Y'all know this. Those who love to do evil, those who have nothing but contempt for the word of God, are near. That's what the psalmist says. They're close by. But brothers and sisters, see what the word of the Lord says here. Yet you are near, O Lord. The enemies, the wicked, are close by, but the Lord is closer to all his own. The help, the consolation, the promises, these are things that the psalmist counted on. He had leaned on the word of God. He knew the faithfulness of God. He knew the testimonies of which the word spoke. This is the word, the covenant promises. Right here, you have them in your hand. The Lord has promised to 1,000 generations of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. God's word is established forever. It contains promises, unchangeable things. Things that are unchangeable forever and ever, for all eternity. If that were not true, it could not contain within it the hope of eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. That means God's promises are good forever. When heaven and earth shall have passed away, every jot and tittle of God's promises shall stand firm. As Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, no matter how many promises God has made, it doesn't matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. It doesn't matter what God has promised. Some of them seem so fantastic, but they are all yea and amen in Jesus Christ. This is to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ, Paul says. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. The fact that you have within you the Holy Spirit of God is God's promise that everything He has said in this word, everything He has promised is going to come to pass. And that assurance was confirmed in the life of Paul. It was confirmed in the lives of all who have looked to and trusted in him. They will testify. They have found him faithful. And that's the truth. And that being true, why would you not call out like the psalmist? Answer me, O Lord. Save me, O Lord. Be my help and my protector, O Lord. For that is what you have promised in your holy word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the way in which you have revealed to us your divine plan. And Lord, that you have called us to yourself. Lord, that you chose us, redeemed us, and have set before us a future hope that is too fantastic. It is incredible what you have prepared for those who love you, who are called according to your purposes. Lord, help us to walk in light of that, in light of who we are, and remember to call out to you, our Father, who loves us with a love that is beyond comprehension. Why would we not call out to you in every circumstance, in every way, at every time? And Lord, we just know, because your word says that you are faithful, that you will indeed redeem us, deliver us, and in the end, bring us to yourself, to our eternal home. Lord, that is what the word promises, and your word is true. We have that to stand on as your people. And Lord, how we thank you and praise you. And just pray that you would help us as your church and your people share this glorious good news with those around us, many who are perishing without Christ. Lord, help us, we pray. And Lord, help us to be constant in prayer for those that we know without Christ. Lord, for you are the one who changes hearts, changes lives, calls people to yourself. And Lord, we should be faithful, faithful in calling out to you to have mercy, to change these hearts, change these lives. And Lord, we would pray that it would be so, and it would be for your glory and your honor. We pray all these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.